turn the radio off, get out of the 21st century, get back to the 19th, or as early as we can. I'm on Coldstream Road. My phone's ringing. Can't get out of the 21st century. I don't even want to pick that up. And so we're on Coldstream Road, and I'm heading into North River Mills. I'm going to meet up with Steve Bales, who I know. And whom I know. And Steve's going to tell us a little bit about the history of North River Mills and his experience as a middle school history teacher here in Hampshire. And see where else the conversation goes. It's September 14, 2007. And this is the Hampshire County History Podcast. All right, let's see what we got. Already, so... Yeah, we'll get some audio. Driving down the road, and of course my phone starts ringing as soon as I turn the thing on. You just can't get out of the present day.
I don't know. So we're sitting on this lovely old porch, and it's got the traditional southern blue color.
Is that right? Yeah.
Both above and below.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, for whatever reason, I forget my history lessons, but the southern porch has always had that blue.
I didn't know that.
And there's sometimes there's like these folkloric mythological explanations, like about the ceilings are light blue because it keeps the ghosts away or something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you know how old this building is? Because this is
log structure here. Can you see the vertical line there? There's a map over it.
Okay. Yeah. So
it's a log house ends there. You see a vertical line up there. Yeah. So it's a frame section that puts these two logs
together. So they moved these two together at some point?
I wish you could tell me.
Okay.
We were told the original house was, they said this was 1790.
Well, they're almost identical. So it's like they built one and then built a similar one to expand it.
Yeah.
So 1790 on the main section.
Yeah. I can take you upstairs. It runs clear across the whole thing.
Yeah.
You can't get from that room to this room on the second floor. You have to go in the attic.
Yeah.
Or the first floor.
So to me, this building, and I don't know what the square foot is on it, 5,000, 6,000, it's a big building. I don't know that. But like to me, this is the center of the old town.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And this is what makes it. If this wasn't here, I don't know if we'd be speaking of a North River Mills
It's actually the old store. My guess is this is probably the oldest remaining structure here.
Yeah.
But that is a log house. The Kump House. Did I hear 1802?
Oh, really?
So it's one of the originals. The Finellis own now the last log house at the end.
Yeah.
Some people call it the Hyatt or the Snap.
Lots of Hyatts place around here.
Yeah, yeah. It's an old log structure. There's a great book, Maud Pugh's. I think I even wrote it down. There she is.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Pugh. Yep.
And there's a great introduction to the where she's walking from that log house through the town, mm-hmm. and she talks about Johnny Miller, his wife Sally here.
Yeah.
This would be 1866, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The people living the Miller owned it at the time, but I think he had already given it to the Morelands. We had two stores back then.
In one town.
They called it one a grocery and one a general merchandise.
Okay.
So we know there was an older store before this one.
Perishable and non-perishable, maybe?
Yeah, like that. That's a good thought.
Yeah.
And, I would think the mills were kind of a retail place, too.
Well, that was my question is, I mean, it's called North River Mills. Huh. Was it a lumber mill town at first? Was it just a bunch of guys that went into the woods seasonally?
Now, you've caught me there.
Because that's what it was. Its main function was because of the river here.
I always thought of these as grist mills.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I ever heard they milled wood.
Okay.
They in that same introduction by Maud Pugh, she talks about a raft of logs going downriver.
So what in your mind makes this a place for settlement? Why here and not 5 miles in either direction?
How about the Great Wagon Road, for one?
So the Great Wagon Road runs through here?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Basically. Except, you know, the town's almost been wiped off the map a couple times.
Yeah.
So I have heard the road used to be a little further that way.
Yeah, kind of like Braddock's Road. It's hard to find. It moves around.
Yeah. This was actually dirt road when I was a kid coming up here.
Okay.
Yeah. So major through thoroughfare. There was industry here. I can show you the lime kiln back just around the bend there. And how about a really ideal location for the mills? You had, have you seen the, before this was North River Mills, it was called Parker's Gap.
Oh,
before
right.
they called it Hyatt Run, that comes through that gap, it was Parker's Gap Run.
So you've known about this place since you were a kid? You would stop up here with your family?
Yeah, we had the, where we live now.
And at what point, I mean, is the population of North River Mills now zero, or is it 10? Do we count the people that live down the road? Or something.
Within the are there unincorporated limits?
Anyway,
within the between
that's,
the signs,
that's a, that's a philosophical question.
The people we
if it's unincorporated, can there be limits? It's unlimited because it just goes on and on.
Rob and Patty are closest. They're talking about being residents. They're in the house that faces this way. Yeah, when Terry and I got married, 76 brought her back here. Millers were living here.
Okay, in the main house.
Yes, Granville in what looks like a mill now. I had a auto repair shop up there in the old school. The store was functioning. Mm-hmm. Actually, the post office was there by then.
But you weren't getting mail there, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. When did that close down, you think?
It wasn't long after.
Okay. Because I know they're talking about closing down. Well, not seriously, but they always, you know, any of these little post offices around here could go any day.
Sure. Highview.
Bloomery
doesn't have
go.
A postmaster anymore.
Yeah.
They still have a post office, but they don't have a postmaster. The Croston House. The one that faces this way, when I was a kid, that was the post office.
So is that what accounts for the fairly well preserved? You don't see a lot of vines and stuff growing over this stuff. I mean, it was lived in until the 70s, and then somebody has been taking care of it a little bit.
Rob Scott Clark has done a wonderful job with the red one you see there and the old schoolhouse. Mrs. Miller lived here until probably 93.
Oh, really? Okay.
Her husband, we didn't lose him a whole lot before that. So there was a couple here.
And so all this is owned privately now?
Yeah.
By various people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One, two, three, four, five,
but nobody
six
seems, nobody seems to mind anybody like us just walking around. Town. It's more almost public in a sense.
Well, actually, we were just talking about that with a neighbor. There have been, three consecutive years, they would break into the house and pull copper, wire, stuff like that, stealing lumber. So, people will, this is access to Ice Mountain. People will park right in the yard, and we'll be walking around. Terry went into the house, the inn here one time, and a lady has her hands on her hips. May I help you? And Terry says, may I help you? This is my home.
Yeah.
And, lady felt that this was a museum, and
yeah.
Her museum, I guess. So, there is concern
coming into your community.
There is concern about people just freewheeling wherever, and that maybe some of those are for not so good reasons.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Kind of case in
the... How many mills are there in North River Mills? Three. Mm-hmm. It did deserve the plural.
Yeah. So this one ran off High Run. That one, the foundation you see there, was gasoline-powered. Shanholtz Mill.
Okay.
And then the other side of Croston's that's facing us here, which is now Rob and Patty.
And that house is being lived in.
Rob Scott. That's the one where we expect them to move in soon.
Yeah.
Hoping.
Give it a new paint job.
Yeah. The snap mill actually was powered from the North River. They diverted. They had a dam across it. And it was an undershot wheel.
Yeah.
Overshot, gasoline, and undershot.
Was there a school here?
Yes. The red house we were looking at there. Mm-hmm. And he's actually done a really nice job preserving it.
Okay. You don't have access to that, do you?
I can get access. I don't know where the key is right now.
Yeah, that'd be neat to see someday.
Yeah. And he's made it clear we're welcome to check it out. Just haven't gotten around to get it to see. We think the older store was just to the left of the Croston place.
So is there any sort of theories about why this hollowed out, or you think it's just in the natural course of events that people age and nobody wanted to move into the old buildings? And they just...
Don't you think jobs?
Jobs. Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody fled the area in like the 1940s or 50s or when? Because it doesn't sound like there was
Exodus,
a whole lot of people in the
70s. I'd say more than 50. Well, 70s we still had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 families were here full time.
Yeah.
What would it have been? 80, 89, 90. Stephanie, my daughter, gets really interested in local history. She's going around interviewing people about the history of North River Mills. And very shortly after she would interview them, they would die. Yeah, I think I told you I was really worried she was going to want to interview me.
Do you have recordings of that stuff?
I don't think we have the audio, or at least I wouldn't have any idea.
Yeah.
I have her written compilation. Mm-hmm. That's actually in the archives in Charleston.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you think at the peak of North River Mills' prosperity? How many families, how many people would you be your guess?
Of course,
it's people coming
of this as a community, not between the signs anymore.
Right. Something like 30
couple
families?
Those, I wouldn't be surprised.
Probably in what, the 1890s?
I'd say
earlier.
Later
than that, okay.
Yeah.
Because automobiles might enable people to get out a little bit more. They might have, as they say in Romney, you have to learn your reading, writing, and the road to Winchester. Something like that.
The basics, huh? Old Charlie Miller. The keeper of the keys. And he had never been away from this. He was born here. Was never away overnight until the night he died, unfortunately. I think he'd be kind of ticked off.
You mean never more than like a mile away? Or how far?
Every night he spent here.
Okay.
Apparently.
Okay.
That's
but
what
he,
I was told.
Okay, but he probably walked
distance. Okay. Yeah. He'd go into town, but was back before nightfall.
That's becoming rarer and rarer.
Yeah.
There's a guy that lives by me. He's 82, and he says he's never flown. He's, I don't know, what's the farthest he's ever been?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
yeah.
D.C. once.
Really?
Or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Interested in the barn?
Yeah, let's see what we got. Still got cats in there?
Still have cats.
Good. Keeping the the mice population now.
I didn't have a clue. I saw a mark on the mortise and tenon, and I saw slashes on here, but I didn't realize at the time that they were, you know, the Barnwright saying, you know, put this with this.
And yeah, and those are some serious beams. We're looking at 10 inches at least.
Oh,
I bet. Or 12.
Yeah.
Looks like a tenner. And
the rafters are just long.
Yeah, this is, it's about the same size as my barn, but these ones, you got bigger.
Sloan Miller thought that this was similar to, you know, 17, that probably it was built the same time as the house.
And the roof
I don't have a clue.
The roof here doesn't look all that.
No. This was, we have that just within the last few years.
I mean, you have the old pegs in the,
yeah,
in the beams here. Of course, they were doing that until the end of the 19th century, so yeah, it's hard to date, but it's all...
There's a lady...
Big old oaks.
Master's project out of WVU that can... If she can find a bit of bark, mm-hmm, she can tell you how old the tree is.
Just that dendrochronology?
Yeah. You know, and then, of course, you could start to make some guesses about the age of the...
That'd be neat to do.
Yeah. She took some samples from here and the end.
Do you have stories what was in here? Is it your old, the old farmer with everybody?
Yeah.
A little bit of
I remember
chickens, cows, pigs.
When I... You can see...
Old MacDonald, that's what I meant. An old MacDonald farm, yeah, a little bit of everything.
Can you see the end of the chute, the little gates? Mm-hmm. By the time I was coming here as a kid, he was primarily raising sheep. Mm-hmm. We have the old shearing hand crank thing with a bunch of universal joints.
Oh, wow.
I wish I'd been around to actually see him do that.
Old the square nails.
Mm-hmm. Hand wrought, don't you assume?
Who puts the straw up there?
No, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Sell.
Oh, you buy and sell the straw? You just keep it?
No, I'd make it and put it there.
Oh, really?
Out of the weather, yeah.
What do you use it for?
It's actually hay. So
okay.
Forage.
Okay. So this barn is yours?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is your corner of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes to the... Top of the hill here goes right through the middle of the cemetery up there.
When did this come up on the market for you?
After Mrs. Miller died,
mm-hmm,
her son knew that we were really interested in the local history because of Steph's research,
mm-hmm,
and I think he was very good to us.
Yeah, got a good deal.
Goes to the
point. Well, I'm not sure
right
who would really use it. I mean, it's
yeah,
needs a little bit of work, but
great
foundation stuff.
Our dream was turning that into a B&B.
Oh yeah, and you looked at it, but
right now it's, you know, keep a roof on it so it doesn't come down.
Your mold levels and your, if you're missing pipes, I mean the electricity still works in there, so that's one advantage.
Yes, but the electric service would have to be ripped out and redone.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's no, it wasn't done to code.
Was this place always like a center of folk festival stuff? Because it seems that since I've been here this last year, there's all these groups that we want to come and use this as a site to celebrate the past.
That's a great question. Mrs. A guy, is he a Miller? But not directly related to this Miller. He can remember coming here when, I guess when I were been a kid too, and he was, I guess the gathering was right here, kind of a homecoming for North River Mills. Wilma had an incredible garden. That's a smokehouse, by the way.
Okay, that little white building.
Log structure.
But it's got clapboard on it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was
inclined to rip that off. But talking, I really respect Rob Scott,
yeah,
the sheriff, and he said you can do it, but buildings don't do well once you, when they've been.
Yeah, it reminds me of one of those old westerns where you come to town and they're like, I could let you do that, but I'd have to ask the sheriff. And they're like, well, who's the sheriff? He goes, I am. And who's the surveyor? I am.
8 feet 12?
Yeah.
I'd love to know. What's the initial?
Oh, yeah, it's a B-U-P? B something?
I was guessing A-B.
Then IP?
IP, yeah.
1812.
I don't know. Can you see where the two parts were put together from back here?
Yeah.
Easier.
Yeah, it's strange because the heights of the two sections of the main building are the same.
Yeah.
And the siding is, of course, now the same.
Yeah.
And so,
because it sticks
out, it almost looks like they were pressed together.
Yeah.
But why would two buildings be of the exact same height?
Well,
they built them separate.
I'm wondering if they haven't played around. Just a wild, wild guess. That, I think, might be the oldest section. I wonder if there's some way to... Is there anything about masonry, any way to date that? But down in the crawl space, underneath that screen door that's fallen off, looks to me like an old hearth.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that could... You know, we're... Curve had a dirt floor.
Yeah. Look at that yellow butterfly in front of us.
Isn't that gorgeous?
It's masterful.
Mm. Bull thistle.
It does seem to be, I don't think it's an effect of cold mountain behind us, but it does always seem to be a little bit cooler in this valley because you're
Lake Henderson was raised here. She was a miller. And she called this the coolest porch in Hampshire County. She got it not so much from Ice Mountain, because there's a ridge kind of between us, but from Rick's Hollow, the cool air in the evening comes down, and you get quite a breeze down through there.
And maybe also the angle of the sun and what can get through hills here.
Yeah.
So the road runs, is that east-west, or what is the direction of the road here?
I would say that's east.
Okay. East of Cape and Bridge.
I guess I should turn this way. East, west.
So it's...
North, south.
It's somewhat east and south to Cape and Bridge,
I
think. A little crooked.
Yeah.
Huh. Get back through the weeds. Yeah. So has there ever been any attempts, besides your own inquiry into this thing, any preservation organizations in the county or anybody that's looked at this and said, we need to make this a national
It's on the
monument?
National Register.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
The town or this building? Or?
What did they do? I think they called it a district. Usually, when we were exploring it, they said, now, you know, the church won't be part of it. Won't be on the National Register because we don't like to include churches, you know, separation of church state. But when it went through, the church was indeed part of it. So I think it runs from the church and all these buildings to that last log house, Finelli's. Maybe the mill site on the other side of it.
Yeah.
If you see anything there of interest, it's pretty cryptic, but
just some of the basic stats of the of the people.
Yeah.
The Great Wagon Road. What is Hyatt's Run? That's the one that runs.
It's that bridge right there.
Okay. A little creek.
Was originally Parker's Gap Run.
Okay. So a run is a creek in the local dialect.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I think that's a lot of places in Massachusetts
or
Virginia.
Yeah.
Crick.
Yeah.
We say crick in Michigan.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like Stewart's Draft or Ramsey's Draft.
Yeah.
A draft is also a...
Stream.
Stream,
yeah.
Which is not common outside of the area
or
the region.
But we have it in Virginia, right?
Yeah, I've seen it there.
if you haven't already read Ansel's book about the French Indian forts, I think you'd really enjoy it.
No, I haven't. There's a lot of things I got to look at yet.
I did contact Ann Downs. I haven't contacted the high school yet.
Who is Ann Downs?
The principal of the middle school.
Okay.
Saying, personally, I'd like to meet with the West Virginia history teacher, local history guy, and that possibly you would be interested in doing that too. Mm-hmm. But she hasn't responded.
Yeah, interested in speaking to the class or talking to him. And, but this is a good segue because I was going to also ask you about your experiences teaching at the middle school, teaching history in the county. Did you ever do local history in the classroom at all?
It was, there was a guy, my colleague, had taught the 8th grade West Virginia history for several years, and they decided in the county in their wisdom, okay, Steve's going to teach all the advanced classes, you know, the bluebirds, in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. Actually, my daughter was going to be in that class, and I said, no. You know, that's the one time I threatened to grieve, you know, take legal action, and they said, okay, you win. You know, we'll let Butch.
Why didn't you want to teach him?
Because I knew this other guy was so much better.
Okay.
You know, he...
Well, that's humble.
He
that's
lived... Good. Breathe.
What's his name?
West Virginia history. Galen Kuykendall, related to the
is he still around?
The county. Yes, he's living close to Willa Cather's.
Maybe I should talk to him at some point.
Yeah. Oh, he's great. A fun guy too. Hmm. And he lots of Hampshire County connections. Hmm. But so they said. Okay, you win. You know, we'll have him teach the advanced class, but we still need somebody to teach the 8th grade, one of the classes. And it was the kind of like Welcome Back, Cotter, the Sweat Hogs. They weren't stupid kids, but they definitely thought they were. Mm. And I had a ball with those guys that year. See, you know, we open up our history book and it's talking about Ice Mountain. So we do a field trip up Ice Mountain. I think that's the only time, maybe last year, Slainsville finally brought their school down here. But I think that's the only times we've had Hampshire County kids on Ice Mountain as a school group.
Yeah, well, this is part of my view about history education is that it's too disconnected from people's real lives.
Yeah.
And
but it shouldn't be, should
no,
it?
And we try to, you know, overcompensate for the bigoted histories of the past by adding women's history and African American history, but sometimes it doesn't resonate.
Right.
You know, you're growing up in these hills, all this history that you read comes from elsewhere.
Yeah.
And you don't know how do we fit into the whole national story that they
we
keep telling.
We could do that women's history, black history, like you said, right here. You know,
yeah,
we've got it. But there, I know they're afraid. Oh my goodness! You know, if you're opening up something controversial. Of course, it's controversial.
Yeah,
all history is supposed to be.
All history is controversial.
Yeah, I love when I taught when I first went to the junior high, 1990. They hand me this terrible textbook, U.S. history. I've never taught U.S. history. And I flipped to the back of the book.
You were teaching European or
world history? Before that, I was elementary.
Okay.
This is when I first go over to the junior high. But the last chapter is dealing with the 60s. Mm-hmm. Vietnam. That was my, that's when I was growing up. It was in my newspaper.
Gather around, kids. Let me tell you.
So I did. We the first day of class. Flip to your last, you know, this is where we're starting, at the end of the text. And so the kids were going home saying, you know, this crazy teacher tells us blah, 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 blah. And they'd come back the next day. We had some great discussions. You know, sometimes they were contradicting. Sometimes they were saying, yeah, they, you know, they, they agreed with whatever. I guess you were telling the truth. But yeah. That whole year, I kept moving back. Mm-hmm. So they always had something to tie to.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
What I know you told me about some, was it two brothers from here that went to the Civil War in opposite directions?
I've heard that. The probably the story I would tell was Kump there.
Steve has run off. Gives me a chance to check out the porch. Oh, here he comes.
Hampshire County's first.
There we go.
Acknowledgement of Yankeedom.
You're certain about that. It's a street sign, U.S. Army Private William Frederick Kump Memorial Bridge. And so, yeah. Somebody stole it off the bridge?
No, they had multiple signs. Okay. They gave us one. The other one is the other side. The first road turns.
That was the boy in blue.
That's the boy in blue. He comes down then. I heard this story back in the 50s. Old Charlie Miller here. But it wasn't until Steph wrote it down again. Wrote it down for the first time. It started to kind of make more sense to me. Right at the top of the hill there, log house. He's coming down here, marching off to Pawpaw. Excuse me, he's... His country is the United States. His dad is going behind him, begging him, you know, don't disgrace your family, your friends. You know, your country is Virginia. How can you do this? The kid does it anyways. Maybe 5 months, it's not a year later, he's killed over at Halltown. We don't know what happened to his body. I told this story, the way I heard it, the dad goes back up there, takes the Bible down off the mantle, scratches the kid's name out. He doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
The problem with my story, I found that Bible at the Hanley Library, and the kid's name's in there.
Okay.
So much.
Who knows? Maybe they had two Bibles. There's always another interpretation. Or you never know when that got started. Maybe it's a good metaphor for what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Are there other stories like that about the area that you think have been passed down that you can remember?
How about Croston, Revolutionary?
No.
If you ever want to see his gravesite, the nice brass plaque they put up there. You know where the bridge is this way.
Yep, I passed it on the way in.
Just on your side of the bridge is a road cuts off to this side, down the river side. Okay. And maybe 100 yards back in there is his gravesite. He wrote down. He's at he's captured. He's Knights of Kings Mountain, Cowpens, Musgrove Mills, Utah Springs, 96. I think that's where he's captured. Taken to Charleston. I guess usually they were putting him out on ships, but the likelihood that he would have survived that, they said, was really unlikely. And he does survive. He comes back here. 1818. The story I was always told, and I think it's on the plaque, is that he walks from here to Richmond to collect some, you know, what we would consider a pension. But I'm not sure there's anything to back that story up. Yeah, you know, just passed on verbally.
There. Yeah.
The other side, somewhere over here, supposedly we had Fort Thomas Parker, but nobody knows exactly where it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's another, like, Fort Edwards, but like, yes. Revolutionary or French and Indian?
French and Indian.
Oh, and they still haven't found the foundations, or...
Right.
Was it...
probably like, down the floodplain, so...
Was it, like, wooden palisades? Is that why? Maybe they can't find any traces.
They didn't even know that about Fort Edwards until just a very few years ago.
Well, I know, like, Fort Seibert, right. South of here, they just started digging that thing up.
Really?
You know,
who's doing
the past
it?
Decade.
You know?
I don't know. I drove past it once years ago and tried to get in touch with them. Mm-hmm. This was when I was teaching at James Madison, and it was on the other side of the mountains from me. And I would drive by that area because it's on one of the most beautiful roads in
what's
the world.
What's
it on, 250? No, Fort Seibert is on something like Lonesome Creek Road or something. It's the first road west of the Allegheny Ridge by Franklin. So okay. if you cross over the mountains on 50 from Harrisonburg,
right.
And go
and what are you crossing on? Is that 250?
Yeah, is it 250? Is it was called so. Into Brandywine?
Yeah,
and then you go through Brandywine, you take a right up towards Franklin, but then instead of going to Franklin, you take another right and you follow the mountain chain north.
33. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go over there. I don't know what they were doing.
I don't make this podcast about me and my complaints, but sometimes I'm surprised about how people don't get back to you when, you know, I could be a volunteer, a donor, or something.
Right.
I'm emailing these guys expressing my interest in the fort.
Right.
And they're starting up this project, going to maybe build a little site.
Right.
And they don't get back to me, or they hardly get back to me with anything useful. It's like these projects aren't going to be successful unless you get out and network and be friendly. Judy Squared.
Yeah, Judy Square is her whole family's reenactor, both Civil War and French and Indian. And they, I think, go regularly to burn down Fort Seibert every year.
Oh.
So they might know, I'll check with them, see if they have any ideas.
Symbolically burn down Fort Seibert.
They built this thing and burn it.
Yeah. It's going to confuse future archaeologists. All these burn circles all over the place.
Yeah. Well, you remember, no, I guess it would have been before your time. When I was a kid, Troy was still this mythical, kind of like Atlantis.
Right, and Schliemann found it, yeah.
Yeah, so when's that?
I thought it was in 62 or 58 or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. And then the problem was, you know, maybe they were having reenactments because they said, yeah, we found Troy, but we don't know which level of Troy. It, you know, was destroyed so many times.
Yeah.
Fort Thomas Park down there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Barry Bostwick's movie, Washington, The War Years, I think it's called? I bet you'd like it. I think it's pretty good.
When was this made? Washington the Warriors?
I bet it was early 90s. But I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. And in the movie, they have Indians coming to Washington's headquarters in Winchester. What's that, Fort Loudoun? Fort Loudoun, maybe.
Beats me, yeah.
And they present him with a scalp. It's a Frenchman's scalp. I feel fairly certain that they're talking about the one that was lifted off the French officer at Fort Thomas Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess, you know, this whole area emptied out during the middle 1750s, and when after things become peaceful again, we have kind of a new set of landowners. Before, I guess Parker was the big landowner here. Afterwards, George Washington's personal physician, Dr. Craik, James Craik, the guy that bleeds him to death, this was his property after the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
And it, just around the corner, we have Craig Springs, named for him.
That's C-R-A-I-K.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, how about Sarah Gibbons? It says she's, I'm going to guess, maybe 1754. She's taken probably around Detroit, abducted. She has a half-breed child. She is rescued, comes back with the child. She apprentices him to some guy in... She's with the Indians for 8-9 years. She apprentices her son to a guy in Winchester who is abusing the kid. She takes him to court to get her son back. And the kid, once he's returned, he takes off, goes back to the Indians.
Really?
Yeah.
So how old was the kid, do you think? He had learned the language and everything, and okay. He wanted to go back home.
Yeah. And don't you... I've heard lots of examples of captives returning to the Indians. I haven't heard where we... the other way around.
Yeah, going native.
Indians choosing to...
Assimilate
with the whites.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem to happen very often. Hmm. So that was Sarah Gibbons. We have Gibbons Run Road over here because it went to her property.
So is North River Mills then older than some of the other settlements around here, like Cape and Bridge and others? Because it seems to have such a very early footprint.
I bet you're right that it's older than Cape and Bridge. Not older than Fort Edmonds.
So this national road, where does it go to?
Romney.
In the 1760s.
Yeah.
Goes to Romney.
Charlie Hall. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've met Jane Ailes, historian in Romney. Two other guys, and I can't call their name, were working on a book. They got a grant to do a book about the Great Wagon Road.
Yeah, there's a couple books out on that.
Are there?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, no, wait. I'm thinking Braddock. I'm thinking Braddock.
Braddock's Road. Yeah,
but that's
the other side.
That's the other one. Okay.
Charlie can actually take you. One time we started at White House, in Winchester. They tried to close off the Great Wagon Road.
Yeah.
And, the legal entity, whatever, said you can't do that. Yeah, it's a right of way.
So is Route 50 part of the wagon road?
Little stretches, but it doesn't seem like it's
not
much.
So that's something that was put in later.
Yeah.
Okay. I always figured because that was such a straight shot to Romney from Winchester that was the main road, but no. I've seen in the county clerk archives there a significant portion of the county's early history is about clearing and maintaining roads.
Yeah.
This is like a major function of the taxation, of the democracy. And a lot of it actually is private companies where guys come together and say, we're raising subscriptions to keep this road open.
Yeah.
And people have to decide, you know, which roads are worth maintaining.
Yeah.
It's different when you actually have to get out there one day a month and do the work yourself.
Indeed.
Then you realize we have too many or too few roads. Yeah. Where today, we just let somebody else do it, and we all want to do it. Well, it's a common good. We all want more roads, right? I mean, we want to be able to get somewhere quicker.
Yeah.
But if I had to maintain that road to Romney,
yeah,
on my own money or work, I might think twice about it. I might never go that way.
Sure. Again. Sure. Yeah. Do you know Falls Road?
I don't think so.
Kind of back Christian Church Road and a ways, and then you hook back towards Gore. Not far from Gore, the old wagon road swings off to the north.
I don't think I've been to Gore yet. What is Gore?
Is it like this?
Route 50 on the way to Winchester.
Is it actually sizable?
Oh, yeah.
It's between Cape and Bridge and Winchester?
Yeah, 10 miles from Cape.
Well, then I've driven through it, but I didn't know I drove through it.
That's true. The road now, you used to drive through the town. Now there's kind of a bypass.
I see.
At the bottom of the mountain, there's the fire department on the left. Let's go. I bet you'd enjoy a book that just came out about Great North Mountain.
I have it.
Did you?
Len gave it to me.
Yeah, do you remember who writes it? I can't call the name.
No.
Len McMaster. But he starts in Gore. You learn about the Gore family. He was one of the founders of the National Geographic Society. That they're related to Willa Cather, the author. And then they take you kind of back to different communities on the way to Cape and Springs.
Comes a neighbor down the road.
Yeah.
You know these people?
Isn't it... Oh, Terminex or something?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Just a house call. can we go inside real quick and take a look at... I know you have that old account book in there. How much was left in here when they abandoned the place, when they died off? Was there furniture and stuff? Like this piano?
Desk.
People started moving stuff in here.
I think they left that box.
Any leftover couch in the county looks like it ended up in this room.
I would say most of the junk we've brought in.
You got three couches, a love seat, and a couple chairs in here. You could have a real party.
I can't understand why I can't get a light on. The china cabinet was
here.
Here. They couldn't figure out how to get it out. But I think a lot of the stuff went.
Looks like it's built into the wall, and it's pretty old.
Went out in the auction.
Yeah.
And most of the antique stuff I brought from our place.
Yeah, so Glenn Moreland loaned the Great Ledger from the 80s, 1880s. And it's got basically buying and selling information, receipts for people. It's basically just buying and selling information, receipts.
Yeah.
And it's 1887. Let's see what... North River Mills, West Virginia, 1886 through 89.
And I told you this was kind of Motel 6 of its day, right?
Yeah. Do you think about maybe getting this to an archive? I mean, this
would.
I don't know.
It's not mine, so I shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, they have that county archives in Romney,
and
it's protected, it's underground. I don't think it's really.
Is it a library?
Climate control. No, the county clerk's office.
Hmm.
I don't think it's really climate controlled, and there's no archivist.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely would be preserved there.
Okay.
I mean, Winchester is the other option, but I'm not sure how interested Winchester is in.
Yeah, my frustration with Winchester is once they get their hands on it, they're not good about sharing.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a thought. It probably is much better off than. In here.
So you bring the kids through from time to time and they get to look at all these old wooden tools and implements and mowers and just an old hat.
Yeah. That was left here.
Some kind of felt hat. That might be 20th century though.
Yeah. Rake. The old sled.
Some sort of pinchers.
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't know, tongs for poles or something?
Yeah. You saw the walking wheel.
Yeah.
Didn't have a pedal. A lot of shoemaking stuff. The guy over our way was a cobbler. And also made the, that's not an old broom, but that's, this is a broom making machine.
Yeah. So this is basically the museum of North River Mills, this little room.
At the moment.
Closest to it.
Yeah.
There was a stove here. Mm. And what is this, a clothes dryer?
I would have said
I don't know. Looks like
Like it folds out into a big poster. I don't know.
Yeah, we used to display quilts.
And you said you could bring me upstairs? You wanted to go around? Yeah. I'm not sure if I've been there yet. Watch my step.
The cheap rooms were over there.
There's just enough light from the windows to kind of get through here.
The bar room, I didn't know until fairly recently, I guess, that the idea was, you know, they've got a bunch of travelers, you know, can they be trusted with the booze out here? So they drop the bars and lock up the spirits back in here. Mm-hmm. Keep the people out of the moonshine. You do have Charlie's contact information?
Yep, I've been in touch.
How about, was it 62 maybe? They've come here looking for, did they call him Colonel? Asa Hyatt was serving in the Confederate legislature. Mm-hmm. And they say they're on both sides of a wormwood fence. Soldiers are shooting at him because he won't surrender. And he's jumping from side to side and gets away. The Union guys come back here to Sally Miller and, woman, fix us some breakfast. Which cracks me up. The idea of going to the enemy. What's she going to put in our scrambled eggs? But she fixed some great breakfast. And as I guess while she's fixing the breakfast, they come up here, bust this off to see if there's guns, ammunition in here. Ted Calvitis has the tractor shop out there, and he was nominating us for the Procrastinators Award because, 160 years later? Mm-hmm. Still haven't repaired it. Yeah. This kind of amazes me that, it'd be hand-hewn beams, but they were proud enough
to get some router on it.
Yeah.
I don't
to put a bead on that.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. They probably had some tool they could run it through at the mill that made it pretty easy. It's hard to imagine that people were living here just a little while ago.
This is the one Lake Henderson would never... They called it the Russell Room? I don't know if that was the name of the drummer, the traveling salesman, but he... comes in here. This is the expensive room up here.
Yeah.
Riffraff downstairs. He comes downstairs saying, don't feel very good. I'm going out for a walk. But it's cold. It's raining. He's got a sack over his shoulder. He comes back without the sack and comes up here and dies.
Okay.
So people felt that...
Did they ever find the sack?
No.
The gold legend?
Yeah.
One more room upstairs. We got old fireplaces caving in.
Yeah, let me get a light and I'll be right back.
Okay. Got a copy of the Washington Post from Sunday, January 28, 1962. Advertising Stenoscript shorthand, now available in public adult schools. Gives you some numbers to call with... just five digits. Fairfax County, call 65770. Somehow still surviving. Chimney is caved in. Leaves are falling through. A couple of beds up here. Looks like somebody swept it out at least. This is a central room. And I'm waiting for Steve. I guess we're going up to the attic. You can see the exposed wood beams here on the walls.
Yeah, what?
Exposed wood beams on the walls.
Yeah, you can see it's like a log structure starting from here. I
Do we know what kind of wood it is?
I don't.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
It's got paint on it, so.
Yeah, it's certainly old enough. Could have been chestnut.
I tell you, I've got some chestnut in my barn.
That looks more like
these might
pine
be,
bark.
These might be chestnut right here.
Hmm.
That does look like pine bark.
Mm. Of course, the old slow growth pine is very different from
and
what
now we're in the attic, probably with the mice.
Yeah.
Got more newspapers here.
Yeah.
The other one was from 1862. This one's also 1962. I'm hearing stuff moving up here.
You what?
Steve, I'm hearing stuff moving around. I think it might be just the heat on the roof.
Get out of the way.
So there were hobos sleeping up here or something?
Yeah, maybe so. Or the ghost, you know, maybe this
we've
is
got,
where you hang
I don't want to fall through the floor, Steve. But there's like boxes of clothes and stuff laying on the ground.
But you can see the attic runs the length there. It when the guys came to pull electric wire out of the walls, they could have so easily that there's electric wires laying here. They could have just rolled it up and it wouldn't have been any big deal for me. I could have replaced that easily. They pulled a little bit of heat out of the wall.
Just a random collection of old
junk.
Papers and linens and
little
hat. Was it SC on there? Any idea what that is?
No clue.
Little blue... what's it called? The Marine's hat. We got some old lights. Mostly just newspapers from the 60s and old clothes. I never had an attic growing up, so I'm always...
Is that right?
Curious, but like...
That was my...
But equal parts curious and disgusted.
That was my playroom.
Yeah, I'm good. It didn't fall. It was your playroom.
Yeah.
You had toys and stuff
in Arlington. Yeah, I had my train set up there. Oh. I could spend
so it was
basically all day there.
It was clean.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. Yes.
Well, I was saying when you left that it looked like the floors have been swept.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody comes in.
Right. Yeah, we do.
This is definitely some old, like, wall paint, too.
Yeah.
Who's painting their walls pink these days? Here's a good section of the wall where you can see the...
wooden lath.
Yeah, the lath. On top of the beams. And a bunch of the sort of clay that they got on top of there.
Plaster? I would have said lime.
Yeah.
Some maybe hair of some sort.
Horse hair and plaster.
Yeah, it didn't look coarse enough to me to be horse, but
okay.
I don't know.
Could be anything.
Yeah. I guess you do with what you have.
Yeah. Do not enter.
Yeah, you're welcome to look, but it's a bunch of junk.
That's yet another one more room on the bottom floor with junk.
Yeah. Yeah, and that floor is actually
just
over that corner where I was talking about that crawl space. The termites apparently love that good flow of air.
So is there anything in here that's historical or just junk?
Junk probably.
Everybody just keeps throwing stuff in there.
I don't know where it'd be.
Yeah. What do you think the future of North River Mills is?
I dream of a renaissance. It's kind of sad one of our really good neighbors, the Cult Place, just told us that they're moving to Florida. So we kind of hold our breath who the new neighbors are going to be. We've been real lucky so far. The only goofy neighbor we had...
Well, you don't want to mention names on... I caught you there.
Now everybody can wonder who I'm referring to.
Well, in a lot of ways, you got to be really lucky. I mean...
They're actually...
It's a
by the way.
Okay. You have to be really, consider yourself really lucky, not only having good neighbors, but also this thing is still standing.
Yeah.
There's an active interest of people that come here.
Right.
There's events here. I was thinking about this a while ago. There's this, the English, what is he, a polymath or something in the 19th century, John Ruskin. Mm-hmm. And he's got this view of preservation that we shouldn't preserve everything, that we learn something by letting things fall down. And you see this more in West Virginia than other places, where things are slowly decaying into the earth, and, yeah. it allows you to ask these questions. You see things in their natural state of evolution, of decline. And you go other places, and not only do they bulldoze all the historic material, the historic material that they keep, they renovate it so much that it's all shiny and new looking.
Williamsburg?
Yeah.
Kind of the Walt Disney of the history world.
Yeah, you know. You get some real history. You don't go to Williamsburg, come to a place like this. You can see, you know, sometimes history doesn't stick out and hit you right away. It's, you look at the tools and you question, what is this?
Yeah.
And then maybe after a while you've seen enough of these tools to recognize, oh, those were important sheep shearers or something in the period. So I like this, like, off-the-road, real backwoods ghost town history.
Good, yeah.
Where it doesn't connect to that national story so well, but it's got its own purpose and importance locally, and it has something to teach you. So you ever mentioned this place with your students? You said you incorporated local history into the classroom, but you ever, when you travel outside, you tell people, like, go see North River Mills. Go.
We do.
Yeah.
Talk it up. Certainly. Like, you know, the festival is a fun gathering. And the best part for me is right here on the porch, you'll have some old timers show up with these great stories. And maybe you've learned how, as a historian, to get people to open up. But for me, I found it very frustrating, especially if I put a tape recorder in front of them. Yeah. They'd say, oh, yeah, I don't know anything. But you get two old-timers together, and they start swapping stories. Just stay out of the way, you know, you get to listen to them. Some great history shared that way.
Yeah, I've done some oral history before in my past. I haven't done a whole lot of interviewing.
Yeah.
And the one strategy I know is that if you're really patient and you outwait people and you just hang around at their home or you talk to them for an hour, the good stories start coming out. But it's true. People are intimidated by being recorded.
And maybe,
they're worried about what they say.
I don't think it's a false humility. I really don't think people... I mean, how much history you have experienced, and yet when it was happening, how often did you realize that it was history?
Well, so many things that were obvious to them, they wouldn't think about telling us.
Yeah.
And you have to really spend some time asking them, well, in your childhood, what was it really like?
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, it was just like an everyday regular childhood. No, it wasn't. It was normal for you.
Yeah.
Because that's what you experienced.
Just yesterday, I was preaching to a bunch of kids from Winchester, came go up Ice Mountain. Asked them, you know, who keeps a journal, and some of the kids do, diaries, journals. And I told them about the lady that lived down there, Audra Croston. We now have her journal from 1935-36. It has the coolest stuff. We're trying to transcribe it, so there will be a digital version online available for people. She's talking about the historic flood in North River Mills. They had to flee from here. They got up in the third floor of the mill because we would have been underwater here.
Yeah.
She talks, what was it, for a week maybe or more? There was no sun because the dust bowl, the cloud coming from the west was going over in 35-36. A major fire coming off Ice Mountain is going to destroy the town here. They all get together, they start backfires, and they save the town. And just describing, she's not, I know she didn't think of herself as a writer. She would just sit down and write a few sentences maybe every day.
Right.
When it's time to dig potatoes, you don't dig your potatoes. You go out, the neighbors would get together and dig this person's potatoes and the next person's. That's the way they did their hay. That's how they built their barns.
Well,
it was a community thing.
Sometimes change is so gradual that in the cumulative we recognize it, but day to day they don't recognize it. And you really have to push them. You know, how different was community then and now? What I really worry about, and I've moved around a lot, is social alienation of people not fitting into communities anymore because of the disintegration of communities. Because people leave where they're from, and when they move somewhere else, they don't integrate into that community. They just stay in their house.
Yeah.
I think history has some power of bringing people together. I mean, if you don't know about the place, you don't care about it.
Yeah. You know? Charlie and Scott up here, the guys, they're leaving, unfortunately.
They're leaving.
Yeah. But they...
they're selling that place?
The first... selling it, yeah.
It's already sold. I'm interested.
Nope. Good. That's why I said that.
I'll go look at that log cabin.
Good neighbors.
All right. I wonder if they're there. We'll go look at it later.
No, and I don't know where the key is, but we can get you the number.
Yeah.
Keenan is listing it.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend who's looking for maybe something. So.
You know, this one's for sale here. The log, somebody'd have to be willing to put a lot of work into it, but there is a cute log house underneath that, the old store there.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently they'll sell the land and the building for maybe $10,000.
Really? How much land?
Huh? It's a postage stamp.
Okay, yeah.
Not much at all. But, you know, just the location, the idea of having this great old log house, I think it'd be really cool. So, Scott and Charlie... The first day they're here, they said, their jaw was kind of dropped down. They said, we've met more neighbors today than all the years we've lived in Georgetown, D.C. We don't know any of the neighbors there.
Well, my community up in Pin Oak, it doesn't change very much, and they know each other, but the neighbors didn't come to meet me. I had to go and find the neighbors where...
Good for you, yeah.
But it might have something to do with there not being a central location and not being...
And how about it? I think it's kind of a Hampshire County thing, or maybe rural thing. If you've always been here, which I wasn't. You know, we had the property here, but I didn't move here full-time until 76. So, have you had the experience of in Hampshire County? You go, you offer your hand. Hi, I'm Steve Bales, and they say, "Yeah."
No, I haven't had that. I had that elsewhere in Virginia one time.
Yeah, I bet it's pretty prevalent.
I had
here.
It one time where, in the winter on our roads, everybody would you'd go. I'd walk down my driveway, and I'd see all these people in a ditch from the snow.
Yeah,
and we were all out plowing and shoveling our driveways one morning, and it's. You know, like one house every 300 yards.
Yeah.
And I saw a neighbor, and I introduced myself. Yeah. I said, hi, I'm Michael, blah, blah, blah. He goes, shakes my hand, and he goes, Thompson. And that's it.
That's
the only thing he ever said.
A lot of times you get here.
He said his last name.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's something. and I don't, when I've experienced it, or when I've seen it, I don't think they're meaning, I don't think it, clicks with them, they don't realize people don't know each other.
Well, I've recognized this elsewhere in the world. So when I lived in the Netherlands, and you're there for a full year, and you know people, and nobody invites you for Christmas.
Yeah.
Or something.
Huh.
You know. Or
so they're more gracious with a stranger?
Well, no, what happens is I think people become very used to their own lives and their own world, and they don't think that others... need to make those connections.
Yeah.
And so you move to the Netherlands, it's partly because the country is so small, you're never more than 2 hours away
right.
from anything.
Yeah.
here, people living in the county, it's kind of the same way, where most of your life is spent in the county.
Right.
And you can't imagine that somebody would not have connections already, or that they would want to talk to you.
That's a good point.
And that they need to talk to you, mm-hmm. because they've got their friends from high school, they've got their family down the road. New people that come into the community like us, I need somebody to help me move a table.
Yeah.
You know, like, I need somebody to hold the other end of the table.
Yeah, yeah.
so we can move it.
Yeah.
And where am I going to find that guy?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think you're right. They have the network, and so I don't think they even particularly value it, don't realize what a resource that is.
Yeah. I don't know. Though it's great here sitting on the porch. I feel like we should have a game of checkers going on and some long beards. You cut your long beard off, Steve, and we get some mint juleps or something. And I don't know. So what? Where did you grow up?
Arlington.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you always had a foot over here.
Yeah.
And so you...
Yeah, these guys really made me feel welcome. You know, they were a bunch of older folks here.
Yeah.
So the idea of this...
you weren't that much of an outsider.
Obnoxious kid hanging around...
Were you a rock and roll hippie?
No.
No? They didn't suspect you bringing...
I don't think so. I think it was...
Radical ideas into the community.
Yeah. The clean cut.
One more neighbor, you know these guys?
I think you met the Roses. Just before you get to our house, they'd mm-hmm. be off to the right.
Yeah, perhaps.
His place, Smaltz owned it. The German guy. The Spanish flu is going through, right, in 1918? Yeah.
1819, yeah.
And he lost two young daughters very close together, and kind of flips out. And so he's up on Raven Rock here, yelling something about, you know, he's going back to the fatherland.
Yeah.
And William Miller, hello! Was the sheriff and managed to talk the guy down off the rocks.
Oh, yeah. So that's the new duty of the new sheriff.
Maybe so.
Talking people down from the rocks. There's a lot of... you guys are going to have to build the legal code for the town and create all these things.
Have you read any of Nathaniel Philbrick's... Works.
Yeah, The Mayflower.
Isn't that I love that one. And as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, we haven't learned anything. I was comparing it. To me, it was the same thing that we did in the Gulf War. Took our allies, back then it was the Indians, and said, you know, we don't want to have anything. The only good Indian's dead Indian. And forced them into King Philip's side. But reading Bunker Hill right now,
it's another Philbrick book?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm not too familiar with his stuff.
He's got another one.
I know he's
one
really popular.
About Washington and Benedict Arnold.
He's up there with, he's almost like David McCullough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. And to me, more readable.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. And I love his, the what ifs, you know, the little quirky things of history.
So you're still reading a lot of history.
Oh, yeah.
And you were always doing that. I mean, you become a high school or a middle school history teacher because you're already interested in it, or because they wanted you to coach something and they're like, here, you can also do that.
No, I guess I was partway through college, I was volunteering, tutoring somewhere, and I didn't know what I was going to do. It was kind of, I don't know, this is fun, and I can get paid to do this. So I went into elementary ed, and I guess the easiest... minor was history. I don't think I realized how much I loved history for a while. How about the disconnect a lot of times between history class, history textbooks, and the great stories my dad would tell me?
Yeah.
I think maybe once I started teaching, I realized, oh, this is the stuff Dad was...
Yeah.
Tell me about the great stories. When we would drive up from Arlington, it was always, it didn't feel like a lesson, but he was always telling these great stories, Civil War and such.
Yeah, I had that once. This mentor of mine in Michigan, we drove to a conference in Iowa, and I was about 23 at the time, yeah. And I was with him and his wife, and the whole trip there and back, he just gave me history lectures. And when I got back, I said, Bob, do you think I can get credit for this, for getting these lectures? I don't know. He didn't think it was a mean-spirited statement, but he didn't think it was that funny. I was like, oh man, I thought that was funny. So the roses feed the cats in the barn?
Yeah.
Okay. How many are there? I didn't see them in there.
Maybe two.
Yeah. You'll have to see my cats someday.
I
picked up two kittens about 5 months ago over in Augusta.
Yeah.
In a barn.
Yeah.
They're sweet as cats.
Yeah. Well, I've never had cats.
You got to come see my barn. I got 1882 on the beam in the center of the barn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, do you know the family?
Yep. I've done as much research as humanly possible, yeah. I think. So, it started with a Robert M. Powell.
Powell.
And there's a bunch of Powells down in the Loomery area.
Yeah.
And Robert M. Powell was a delegate to the Virginia House of Delegates in 1849. And I believe he had a house on the property right next to mine.
Yeah.
And I believe that this house burned down in the 20s.
Hmm.
The octogenarians that lived down the road grew up on my property,
yeah.
in the 30s, and they said there used to be a hotel, this house,
yeah.
that burned down in the 20s, and so they never saw it, but they told me it had a big porch, it had a telephone,
yeah.
it had a door that faced towards my old road. And so all these things lead me to believe that this hotel is actually something that Robert M. Powell probably built in the 1850s.
Yeah.
40s or 50s, that's my guess. But I've done all the deed research back on the property as well.
Cool.
And eventually in the county everything gets handwritten,
yeah.
really confusing, and there's never maps.
Yeah.
And everything is from the oak tree to the pine tree to the pair of rocks.
Right, right.
And so...
Now, is that work you like to do?
That stuff is kind of fun, but...
I just wonder if you even wanted to market that sort of thing. Do you want to know about your property?
I don't know. I'm interested in being an entrepreneurial historian,
yeah.
and doing all that kind of stuff. But I don't think the genealogy and the deed record research. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think it really pays off all that much,
yeah.
financially, and I think it becomes the same thing over and over again. And I think, for the most part, people are really unwilling and almost upset if you say, well, it's going to cost you $50 an hour,
yeah.
or more.
Yeah.
But professionals in anything, plumbing, anything,
right.
you're doing work, you're charging $100 an hour these days, and I feel bad. I want to do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's kind of nice to eat.
Yeah, but, I mean, I have a job, a decent paying job,
yeah.
know, at university and everything, so I don't need that extra work.
Hmm.
It's a good way to meet people,
right.
and help people, but I'm more like, I'll just do it for free once in a while,
yeah.
if it's somebody that comes to me.
But if you're ever interested, Gilsons had this property up here, I think. Wilmer Kearns did most of the research for them. I think they'd be willing to say how much they paid. And I'm thinking people coming from a metropolitan area would probably be willing to pay
that. There is some advantage knowing the archives in Romney, where I could do it a lot quicker because either they have to drive here or they don't know how to find it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe I can offer those services, or others can offer the services, and there's other people that do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not all that proficient in it yet.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd hate to chart, not find anything, and still feel like I have to charge somebody. You know, what do you say then?
Yesterday.
You know, I spent 4 hours, I didn't find anything, but you owe me $200.
Ed DeWitt, from the Hampshire Review,
yeah.
came out yesterday, and we went pawpaw hunting, and I said, you know, last year when I went to this particular area, I found lots of pawpaw trees. I didn't find any pawpaw fruit. Oh. Well, I guess I found one. But, and that's kind of what happened yesterday. We walked good ways, didn't find any there. I did find a pawpaw over our way.
This is a little bit off topic, but I have on my property a sour cherry tree,
yeah,
a peach tree, and I was walking through the woods the other day, and I have a big old pear tree. And,
yeah,
and I brought you a bag of pears.
Oh, cool. I love pears.
And so they're big already, but I'm not sure exactly when the season is or when they're ripe.
Yeah.
They came off the tree fairly easy, but you might have to hold them for a month before they get soft.
Yeah.
Something.
So Mom used to make a pear butter.
My brother was telling me pear pie.
Yeah?
You can do it.
Well, I thought that'd be good.
Like apple pie, but pear pie.
Yeah.
Never heard of
it. I bet it cooks down almost like applesauce.
Yeah. Applesauce pie.
Yeah.
Is that on the menu and all the...
Terry makes a pawpaw pie.
I don't think I've ever had a pawpaw.
Yeah?
So I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah. You know the road back into the Cottage Castle?
No, I haven't been up there yet.
How are you?
How's you doing?
Doing good. Remember Michael Dalma.
How you doing?
I'm Michael. Michael, I'm Mike. We ought to be able to remember that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, there's too many Mikes in the world, though.
None, no.
We're actually mic'd up right now. I'm interviewing Steve on the history of North River Mills.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so don't say anything too controversial.
Well, you ought to be able to talk about what's her name? Ida.
Yeah, Ida O'Neill.
Yeah.
Faults.
I know we're disappointed in that Ed maintained the roof on that building.
Yeah?
Back in, had it done, it'd been a neat little place to go back in.
I thought it was still okay when the Nipplings got it.
Oh, it was.
Oh, well, I Ed, not Ida. I see.
No. Nipplings got it. It was on it quite a few years. And
I guess when you're buying a hunting place, you don't particularly care.
Yeah.
Michael's telling me how some historians think it's important to let the buildings rot down.
Well, we can't preserve everything. That's my point.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's nice, instead of bulldozing it, to let it slowly sink down, and so you can see something still.
Yeah.
And how much history is destroyed when people modernize it, fix it up too much. So I haven't done anything terrible to the Miller house.
You should get an award for not preserving it, Steve.
But, you know, the Miller house serves a lot of other purposes. The fixing up parts of it is always good. People come in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, someday.
The other parts of the other house you don't want to touch. You know, it's kind of people like that. Right?
The part where the floor is falling through?
That's probably good.
Yeah.
Save a few broken legs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Any bears?
No.
Saw a picture of Charlie stuck over there. By
yeah?
The, is he back from...
I don't think so.
No? I tried to talk to him when he told me he's going to call me, said he's going up there. I said, you're going to have any lobster? He's going to eat a lot of those, a lot of crab.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring a couple bushels back, you know, and he just laughed.
Maybe not. Maybe
that would be a good feast.
Wouldn't it?
Well, we'll let you all go.
All right.
So you're on.
Good seeing you.